Okay, so this is the third shiur in our series on what the Gemara calls Nikal Poshea, and what has been a discussion of accidental damages. So today we're gonna, I'd like to begin, before we review what we've seen until now and sort of come to our conclusion, I wanted to present today's discussion with a few vignettes. I hope everyone has the source sheet. Is that available? If you don't, please let me know. So,
I don't have this source sheet. Would I be able to get it?
Or? Yeah. Oh, should I? I could share it in the chat.
Send me. You go on. I'll put it in the chat.
Okay. Beautiful. Thank you. Thanks, Reiter Gina. So, the cases are as follows. We're going to discuss today. Vignette number one: Leah was in labor and called a cab driver to her hospital. Called a cab to drive her to the hospital. This is a real case, by the way. I saw this in an actual shut. Unfortunately, she didn't move quickly enough and ended up delivering in the cab and ruining the entire back seat of the car. The baby was healthy, Baruch Hashem. That part, I don't know that that's true, but it wasn't said otherwise, so I'm going to assume that that was the case. That's obviously the most important. But anyways, for our purposes, does Leah need to pay the cab driver for the damages? For the damages that occurred because she gave birth in the middle, while in this cab driver's car. That's case one. Case two. Sarah is having coffee and cake with a friend at her home, and I thank Bitarchina for this case. When the friend begins to choke, Sarah employs the Heimlich maneuver successfully, but in the process she cracks her friend's ribs. Is Sarah liable? So here, Sarah was trying to do a very wonderful thing, a mitzvah matzos nefashos, and yet in the meanwhile, though, she directly damages her friend. Should she be liable for that damage? Vignette number three. Reuven and Shimon were play fighting. Reuven hit Shimon's hand without damaging him. Again, this is also actually a real live case from the Ravaz. So, Shimon got up, grabbed a wooden block, threatened to blind Reuven's eye, and proceeded to do so. Is Shimon liable for damages? For a while, the damages that he meted out to Reuven while actually play fighting with him. And number four, Yehuda was driving the left lane of a road and signaled to Levi, who was driving behind him in the right lane, that he wanted to switch lanes. Levi continued driving straight and crashed into Yehuda's car as it veered into the right lane. Who is liable for the damages? Okay, so we have these four cases. I hope to get to all of these today. Before we move on, any thoughts, observations? Feel free to share.
Well, you do have, regarding the case of the Heimlich maneuver.
Yeah.
I know there are some jurisdictions that have what's called the Good Samaritan law.
Right.
Someone, they won't be held liable, so yeah, it's a real issue.
I hear it. The halacha also might have, I guess, mifnei tikkun olam, but we'll see. It doesn't always apply. So it is a good point that you're raising. But even that would be the notion that it would have to be a good Samaritan law means that, you know, fundamentally there might be liability. Okay. So, a brief review of what we've seen until now, and I'd like to try to answer or address some of these questions. So, what we started off with was a discussion of what the Gemara calls Nikal Poshea. Nikal Poshea, or La Poshea, is the question of when someone stumbles, are they considered careless or are not considered careless? And this had a number of different applications. It had applications if you are carrying someone's cargo professionally and you drop the cargo, are you liable for breaking the cargo? It asks questions if you slip and break someone's object on the road. It has ramifications for cases where you're holding your own object and you slip and drop it on someone. All those relate to the question of Nikal Poshea or La Poshea. So what we saw was that we, at least it seems, paskin halachically, that Nikal is La Poshea. We don't consider someone who slips negligent, and therefore in most of the aforementioned cases you are not liable. However, there was a big problem with this conclusion, because as we saw in the Gemara in Bava Kamma, the Gemara said, or the Mishnah even, the Mishnah says, Adam mu'ad le'olam, that a person is always liable for damages. Adam hamazik is liable, even if it sounds like, in the simple explanation, even if it totally was not his fault. So, one example is if a hurricane comes and blows a person off of a roof, they fall off the roof and land on someone's object. Not only, you know, aside from the misfortune of falling off the roof, they also have to pay for that object. Cases it says, Bein Yashin, if you're sleeping and you damage someone in your sleep, you're also liable. So if that's the case, if we say that Adam Hamazik is always liable, so we have a problem. Because why does it make a difference whether or not you're considered careless for dropping the object and slipping, or slipping and damaging your friend's object? Who cares if you're careless or not? Carelessness is not required to hold someone liable for damages. Shouldn't you be held liable anyway? And there are many cases we saw last time, in last year, where it seems that there is an exemption for someone who damages when it's really not their fault. Yerushalmi mentions that even though the Mishnah says you're liable for damage that you bring upon someone else while sleeping, if you are already sleeping in the bed, and then someone goes into the bed next to you, that's not your fault. Because it says then he's the Mu'ad, and then he's liable for the damage. We have cases where if you are carrying a beam in the public domain and someone suddenly stops in front of you and you break their barrel, that's not your fault. Again, who cares? It sounds like the point is that, well, they stop suddenly, so you shouldn't be held liable for that. But the bottom line is you damage them. So that was the big question. So what we saw was there are two different approaches in terms of understanding this idea of Adam Mu'ad La'olam. Two basic approaches with some different permutations in the middle, but it really boils down to Tosfos versus the Ramban. So the way we phrased it last time was that according to Tosfos, Tosfos thinks that Adam Mu'ad La'olam means that not really Mu'ad La'olam. The point is that although generally in order to be Mechayiv you in Halacha, we require some modicum of Kavana, right? You need to actually intend to do the action that you're doing in order for it to really count. In Halacha generally, when it comes to damages, it's not really about the act of damaging. It's really about you not being careful enough and not preventing yourself from getting in a situation in which you could damage. It's about your negligence in putting yourself in that situation. So the point is that that's the point of Adam Mu'ad La'olam. And therefore, in some cases, for instance, one explanation of the case where you go on the roof and the wind blows you off the roof, Lech HaMishnah actually says, the reason you're liable is because you shouldn't have gone on the roof in the first place. That was a risky thing to do. So that's why you're liable. It's not because of the actual act of damaging when you're blown off of the roof. Be that as it may, Tosfos therefore says that when we say Adam Mu'ad La'olam, it's not really always. You're not always liable. You're only liable if you had a certain amount of negligence which contributed to the damage. Tosfos ends up concluding it has to be Ke'ein Geneva. It has to be, it's basically not, rather, Ke'ein Aveda, excuse me. Like losing an object that you're watching. It's basically negligence, not quite negligence. That's the standard we require to hold someone liable for damages. So Tosfos goes through all these different Gemaras which absolve the person who damages and says, well, that's not a problem because Adam Mu'ad La'olam isn't really all the time. Adam Mu'ad La'olam means you're liable when you have some fault for the damages. However, the Rabban argued, and the Rabban says, no, it's not the case. The Rabban says Adam Mu'ad La'olam means La'olam, a person who's liable for damages, is always liable. No matter what. Then the question becomes, how does the Ramban defend against all these cases? And the solution we started talking about last time, which we'll try to finish up now, is that there are two basic ideas, according to the Ramban, which absolve someone from damaging. According to the Ramban, the point of Adam Mu'ad La'olam is that a mazik is chayiv even without kavana. However, that really, the category of Adam Mazik is a very particular, formal, legal category. The point is that damaging is so bad, it's usur, it's actually a religious prohibition to damage someone else's property. It's such an egregious thing to do, the Torah held you liable even if you don't have kavana. However, it only applies when you're categorized as Adam Hamazik. And when you're not categorized as Adam Hamazik, I see my connection's unstable. Hopefully it comes back. If you're not categorized as Adam Hamazik, then you won't be liable. And we said two things prevent you from being categorized as Adam Hamazik. One category generally is Poshea Ba'atzmo. Nizak Poshea Ba'atzmo. When the person who got damaged was themselves negligent. And one explanation of this is that Adam Hamazik, damages in Jewish law means we have a clear distinction between the party that damages and the victim. And the victim is someone who is a victim. They don't participate in their own damaging. However, if the victim themselves participate in the act of damaging, then we can't call you a mazik, because there's also no nizok. Mazik means there's a victim and a damager. So therefore, many of the cases we saw whereby an Adam HaMazik is liable, is not liable. It's not because Adam HaMazik is exempt when it's not their fault. It's because they're exempt when it's the other person's fault also. So that was one idea. So what I want to take up our conversation with today was the other idea, which the other big idea which absolves someone from damages according to the Ramban, which is Mis'asek Birishus. Mis'asek Birishus means that in certain circumstances where I have legal permission to perform the action that I am performing, I have the right to do it, I'm not considered a mazik in that circumstance. Thinking of vignette number two, if you're a physician and your job is to take care of a patient and to perform certain procedures on that patient, so that might fall into this category of mit'asek berishus, where you have legal permission to do what you're doing, and therefore, by definition, you're not categorized as a mazik. And I hope I'm clear until now. Let me know if anything needs clarification. Okay.
Is there no concept in halacha of contributory negligence when you have a mazik?
And a nizok? Hello?
They're saying that if the mazik are participating,
I think
it's
I'm
like either or.
So that's a great question. We saw last time the Meiri has a comment whereby he says that when in damages, we hold the most blameworthy party liable, and that's it. So that you have that, which would seem that you don't have this contributory negligence idea. However, we do know that in halacha, it's not totally true. If there are two damaging parties, so let's say two people take a stick and hit someone at the same time, or hold a stick together and hit someone at the same time. So the Gemara says mishal shin binyan, that you do hold both of them liable. So I would argue that it's not only because two people contributed to the damage. It's also because the nizak, the victim themselves contributed. If the victim themselves contributes, you can't really call that mazik. That's the argument we're making. Because the victim is a mazik means there's a victim and a damager. Okay? So back to yes.
Sammy, I think Jeffrey was trying to ask a question before.
Okay, sure. Jeffrey?
Was there, but then there was some noise and I muted him. I don't know.
All right. Okay. I'll be here. We have some time.
There
he is. Okay, so I don't know what
level. Yeah. I'm sorry, my signal's not great, but yeah.
According to Tosfos, so you still have the idea, though. You still have to maintain that idea of Adam.
Yeah. Tosfos is a bit difficult in this regard. I hear you.
So from a practical point of view, one possible way to look at it is usually the plaintiff has the defendant has to prove he comes within one of these exceptions.
Can you repeat that one more time? I think I lost you in the middle. Can you try one more time? It's the last point.
Has the burden of proof.
Right. Yes.
Right? Beyond a balance of probabilities and civil law.
Right. Right. So
is there a reverse burden of proof? Does he has prove that he comes within one of these exceptions?
Right. Okay. That's a good question. That's an excellent question. I think we do say generally "Hamotzi mechaver alav haraya," but that's a very creative suggestion to explain what "adam uod olam" might mean for Tosos. But just to clarify, I don't think Tosfos needs these exceptions, because for Tosfos, he can answer all the cases which seem exceptional can be explained by simply saying, you weren't negligent enough. It wasn't really your fault. But I hear what you're saying. You could say that, in a sense, that the since Adam Mu'ad Olam, the Nizok is Muchzak, and it's upon the Mazik to prove that they weren't Poshea, let's say. I think that's a very, I like that suggestion. So, thanks for that. Okay. Where do we get this category of Metasek Barishos from? So we have a few different permutations of it. One of them relates to the question of professionals, which is brought up in the Gemara in Bava Kama Tzadik Tes Amaveh. So the Gemara there, in source number one, says as follows. Amar Shmuel, Tevach Uman Shekilkel Chayav L'Shalem. So Shmuel says, a butcher, an expert butcher, who messes up their shlita, their slaughtering, is liable to pay. Why? Mazikhu Posheahu. He is both a damager and he is negligent. Now that line in and of itself is quite alarming in two senses. Number one, so in the sense that it's distinguishing between the category of mazik and the category of poshea. Now, by the way, for the Ramban, this makes perfect sense at this point, because the Ramban thinks they're really two different categories. Mazik is adam mazik, adam mu'alolam. Poshea is something else. Poshea means that specifically you were negligent. For Tosfos, this is a bit harder to explain. There shouldn't really be a difference. Anyways, the Gemara continues. Nase ka'omer lo shechot li mikan u'shechot li mikan. It's as if what happened was you made an explicit request to the shochet, shechted in this way, and instead it did it the other way. He didn't do your job. So the Gemara asks, Lami le'lo me'mar maziku, why did it need to say that he's considered a damager? Posheahu, why do I need both of these labels of mazik and poshea? And here the Gemara says something very difficult to understand. Hava mina, iamar maziku, if it would have only said that when you shecht and it's an invalid shechita, that you're a damager, so then, hani mili hecha dikka avid bischar, I would have thought that those words only apply when you're doing it for pay. But if you shecht someone's animal for free, if you were only a damager, a mazik, then I would have thought you would have been exempt. Kamash malam posheahu, therefore we say no, you are also not only a damager, but also negligent. Right? So this is a very striking formulation. Why would this be? Why would it be that a mazik is only liable if they got paid? That's actually the opposite of Adam Mu'ad Olam. Why should it make a difference if we say that damaging is always liable? So why should it make a difference whether or not you got paid? So the Machane Ephraim here, based on Rashi, argues that the reason is because we can't call you a mazik unless you violated essentially your terms of conduct. If you were acting within your professional, your professional purview, then you are by definition not a mazik. Says the Machane Ephraim in source 2. Avam mefarish Rashi sham perikah goes near the saga daita to makshe dahaya rotsa lachayva afil bechinam la mishum adam mazik havi. It's not really because adam mazik. Elam yishum the sphere the tevach uman shal kilka posheahu. The abhachi kamar. Actually, I brought you a Menachem Ephraim from a bit later in the Gemara, but his argument is, when you are misasik bereshus, so long as you are not negligent, you are within your professional purview, and therefore cannot be called a damager. Once you are negligent, then you no longer have that protection, and that's when you can be called a mazik. And so the Gemara says it's only if you have a certain amount of liability and accepted payment that we can really judge your action as negligence and thereby label you a mazik. Sorry. You with me? Still? No? Yeah.
Back about the China shop, right?
Right.
So you're there with permission. I mean, the owner wants customers. So if you break, will the same logic apply?
So I think that's different, actually. I think you had permission to be in the... Well, actually, you know what? Hold that thought, because I want to go over the... let's look at a few explanations as to why this is true. And then and remind me. Tell me if you think it should apply. Okay. So that's the that's one example of Gemara Vakama. You have another slightly another example in the Gemara in Memches, Amud Aleph, Memches Amud Beis. So here the Gemara talks about Rishus seemingly in the as it means physical jurisdiction. That Rishus, my Rishus means I have the right to do what I would like to do on my property. And the Gemara here talks about a case where I'm on my own private property and someone trespasses on my property and I damage them in the process. So, says the Gemara as follows. If a person trespasses on someone's property, v'hizik es balabayis, and he damages the owner of that property in the process, o balabayis huzakbo, or the owner is damaged by tripping over the person who trespassed, chayav, the person who trespassed is chayav. That we understand. Hiziko bahabayis pater. But if the person who owns the property damages the person who trespasses, he's exempt. Amra papa, lo amran ella de lo havi yadabe. We only say this when he didn't know about this person's presence. Aval hava yadabe, Hiziko Balabayas Chayav. If he knew about his presence, then if the Balabayas damages the person, then they are liable. My time, why is this? Mishum de Amar Le, Mihi de Issachar Reshusa La Fuke, La Azut, Lo Zuke, Lesachar Reshusa. Even though you have the right to kick me out, you don't have the right to damage me. Just because I trespass on your property doesn't give you the right to start knocking me around. I will note parenthetically that there are two opinions in the Rishonim as to whether or not you have the right to damage a person if they refuse to leave. Oh, let's try this. Okay, 1 second. Okay, I don't know where everybody lost me. Well, that doesn't really ring a bell.
All boys and girls, how about that?
Okay, I'm gonna go. I'll briefly review the last source I was doing, and I hope that will work. Look, it's not as good here in Thousand Islands. So the Gemara here essentially says that if someone trespasses on your property, If you know about their presence, you're liable. But if you didn't know about their presence, then you're not liable. We'll leave it there for now. The rest of the Gemara will be important. Actually, let's just finish the Gemara here for a second, and let me know if I start getting fuzzy. So then the Gemara continues similarly. V'azul Tamayu, and they each follow. Rav and Rav Papa are consistent in their opinions. Amar Rav v'tim Rav Papa, shneim b'rishus or shneim shlo b'rishus. If two people have permission, or two people don't have permission, they hiziku zed zeh chayavin. If they damage each other actively, they're liable. Husku zed b'zeh peturin. If they are damaged by each other passively, simple explanation, this will relate to our collision case later, if they bump into each other. So, if they had the same status in terms of permission, either they were both in violation of what was normal, or they both had permission to do what they were doing, they're exempt. Time with the same birishos, the same shlo birishos. Mara said the reason for this is because they were both had permission or didn't. Aval echa birishos ve'echa shlo birishos, the birishos padre shlo birishos chayav. Right? If one of the parties had quote unquote permission and the other one did not, then the one who had permission is exempt, and the one who did not is liable. So we have this exception where one is Bereshus, one is Shelo Bereshus, And yet, and therefore, the one who is bearish shows is Potter. And the question, again, is going to be why and what exactly this means. So Rashi here says in source number 4 that this is not dependent upon your kavana. Meaning, once you, what we mean when we say that lo yadabe, that the person whose property is trespassed is liable as long as he knew about the person who did trespass, we mean literally that he knew about them. However, if you didn't know about the person who trespassed on your property, even if you accidentally damaged them, you're still liable. That is what most Rishonim hold. And based on this perspective, it makes sense to say that although Adam Muad La'olam, and therefore we say a person's liable, if I do, that is predicated upon a certain, you know, requirement to stop myself from damaging people. And if I didn't even know about someone's whereabouts in my property, I had no responsibility at all then to stop doing anything. I had the full right to do what I was doing because there is no reason to assume I could potentially damage someone, so then I am exempt. So this is one idea, this idea of misasek bereshus. However, the Rambam takes it even further in source number 5. The Rambam says that any case in which you have reshus to do what it's in your property, or even if the two parties are equally violating the terms of what they should be doing, or they equally have reshus to be there, you're only going to be liable if you purposefully damage. Right, take a look at this. It says in the bold here. When do we say that you're always liable? That's if it's in the victim's rishus. But on the damager's rishus, you're only liable to pay if you did it on purpose. And he says the same is true. The chaynim hayashneim bereshus oshen shelo bereshus. The hizik echa mehem mamon chaver shelo bekavana pater. Similarly, if they both did not have permission to be in the property they were in, or had permission to be in the property they were in, they're only liable if they did it on purpose. So the Rambam here has this. The Ravid argues on the spot, says no, that's not true. It's not dependent upon kavana. It's dependent upon knowledge. About Yadave doesn't mean you didn't do it on purpose. It means you didn't even know the person was there. That's a different category. I might be losing you again. I'm not sure. But the Rambam essentially saying as follows: in order to be an Adam Hamazik, there needs to be a case where the damaging party breaches a certain duty of care, and again, it's only the damaging party that breaches that duty of care, and that's what makes you a Mazik. If I had the purview to do what I was doing in my Rishus, then I don't become Adam HaMazik in the full sense. Now again, if I damage a person on purpose, so then you'll always be liable for that. Then I'll be liable for the actual action of damaging. But as long as I'm within my purview to do whatever I was doing, or even if the other person was not, so then I'm exempt. Now this, just to note, some Mefarshim here think the Rambam really means Rishus in the physical sense. So if you took this Rambam literally, it would literally mean that in the case of a collision, you very likely would have neither party be liable. Because it's likely that either they will both have the Rishus to drive, or they both violate a Rishus. In order to hold anyone liable for damages in that case, you need to prove that one party was Berishus and one party was Shelo Berishus, assuming that it was an accident. The Chazon Ish suggests that when he says Rishus here, it doesn't mean actually, literally, their physical jurisdiction, right? It doesn't mean Rishus Harabim. It means Rishus in the sense that you had the right. You know, you didn't act out of character. You didn't do anything wrong or abnormal. So just to point out, so what is the basis of this idea of Misasik Rishus? You have a few different ideas. If you look in source number 6, the Pisgei Rid here says that, at least in the case of a professional, the person who asks the professional for a service sort of understands that something bad might happen, and they exempt the professional from the damages in that case. Right, take a look at the source number 6 that says the piskirid. We'll go to the second to line, the last words. To afagav de ones chayav ben izikin. Even though someone who is an ones is liable for damages, still hecha hacha shani demidaita kayahe vele mishcha veliftar. Here it's different because you willfully gave it to the shochet to shech the animal and be exempt. There's a mutual understanding that certain things might happen. So that might be like a limited sort of, that's a sort of a super misasik berishus. The point is not that just that you had the permission to perform the act that you were doing, it's also that they accept that because you have that permission, even if you make a mistake, you're not liable. That's the Riz explanation for it. If you look in the Shita Megubetzes here, you have two other interesting formulations of this. So the first is of the Riva. Actually, there's two versions of this Riva, and he says as follows: Ferva Pirish. The Riva is talking about the idea of Niskal. We say that Niskal is La Poshea, the person who stumbles is not negligent, and therefore they're exempt. The question again is why? If Adamu La Olam says Riva, Riva Pirish Vare Niskal Domil Rosh Einu Mitzuya, Va Adam Hamazik Chayav VeNiskal. If you were actually an Adam Mazik, you would be liable for stumbling on someone's object and damaging it. Olakach pater shomer chinam. However, in the case in Bava Mitzia, where you are, let's say, carrying someone's object for free, kevan zahavi shomer chinam lo shayech bo din adam hamazik. Because you are a watchman, meaning you're working for the damaged party, we can't call you a mazik. Shari alav mutal is asik badavar. Because it's your responsibility to engage with the object. Says so the Bariva is saying, if you are simply, if you slip and knock someone's object down, that is your fault. That's out of mamazik. But if you had a responsibility because of your employment to engage with someone's object, so then you're not a mamazik because it's your responsibility to deal with that object. Going back to Jeffrey's case, I think you can distinguish between someone going into a store and dealing with merchandise that they're browsing, right? That was the topic of Shiram a few weeks ago, and someone who has a job to take care of an object. While the owner might want me to buy an object, that doesn't mean that I have a responsibility to pick up a specific object and handle it in any given way. No one's making me do that. I decide if I want to die or not, but that's my decision. He's not telling me to pick up that object and handle it. So I think that one is distinguished. And the Rivishaya at Kosher Riva, sort of with a different emphasis, that it's not just that you had to deal with the object, it's also because you were working for the Nizok. Again, mazik requires an opposition between the two parties. The mazik is against the nizok. He performs an act which compromises the nizok. Here, they're working for each other. If I'm working for the nizok, I can't be a mazik. Right? That's the argument of the Mishnah Megubetzes. And that's indeed what the Chiddushin Rabban says about the Rabban, who's the author of this idea that other mazik is always liable, says that the case of the slaughterer is different because the slaughterer is not a mazik because ein uman hatoeb malato mishamazik. You can't call a professional who makes a mistake in their work a damager. Now, that doesn't mean you will never be liable for damage that takes place in the context of professional labor. It means that you're not a mazik. You might still be a poshea. You might still be negligent. We have to determine whether or not you were negligent, but we won't apply adam mu'ad la'olam. That's the Rabban's point. And finally, just to get to the last Messiah's Rishos here, so one case we saw last time in the last year was the case of children who inherit their father's cow. They think it's their father's cow, but it turns out their father borrowed the cow. And they slaughter the cow, and it turns out they had no right to do so because it was just borrowed. The Gemara says that they don't pay for full damages. They don't pay for the value of the cow. Rather, what they pay for is the benefit that they got from the cow. They pay for the cheapest meat available. Now the question is, why should this? This is perfect mazik. I took a weapon and killed the animal which I wasn't allowed to kill. Why shouldn't I be completely liable? Now, according to Tosfos, you'll say again because it wasn't my fault. How did I know that it was borrowed? Okay, but according to the Ramban, it's very hard to understand. So the Kilos Yaakov says here that you have another idea of Misasek Bereshus, and it's as follows. Look at source number 9. L'shinas Rambanzal, the Gamba Onis Gamar Chayev Adam Amazik, Nira Dehachi Shaini, the whole Onis Hare Masa Hezek Asher Lola, So So Verak She, Nenas B'Yasi Yizu. Generally, when we talk about Onis, something that wasn't your fault, it means you didn't have the right to do the action that you did, but you were compelled into doing it. I'm blown off of the roof by a Ruach in Mitsuya. I didn't have the right to jump off the roof and land on someone's object, but it wasn't my fault that I did. But that's not the case here. Avahacha kevin dechazaka shetachas yad adam shalohu. Hayamudra lahem api dimidvoach. Since the rule is that you can assume an item in your possession is yours, and they had the right to assume it was their father's cow, they had the legal authority to slaughter that animal, lo'ochlo, and to eat it. Uvereshus ha-Torah ka'avid. They were acting with the permission of the Torah. V'chi aganu leka midin adam amazik. So here we have a category where you have the right to do the action, and the Torah says you are allowed to do that action, and it turns out that action caused damage, but you had the right to actually do that action, so then that's also Misasek Bereshus. So that's that's the second category here, or even according to the Ramban, you won't be held liable, again, because on a simple level, either because you're working for the damaged party, or because Mazik requires, again, a certain amount of evil, and you have to be doing an evil, the act has to be an evil act. If it's not an evil act, then you can't be a liable. Yes, Jeffrey?
So you can apply today's share, the whole idea of Adamu and Laholam, and all these different things of Mitasek the Roshus, and apply that to the vignette of the guy who rents the car and takes it off road. Right? And you can do this whole share of that case. So my question is...
Certainly relevant, by the way. I agree.
And there we learned about all the different showbring. So how do we combine... Don't we have to combine both things? The law of showbring and the law of...
So that's my point is that according to Tosfos, they're sort of the same. According to Tosfos, a shomer is adamu l'olam, it's really the same thing. There's no fundamental difference between damages and shomerim. The question is, can we hold you liable? Was it your fault? Was it enough your fault? Did you have enough blame? According to the Ramban, there are different categories, but what you have to end up saying is that a shomer, for whatever reason, isn't considered a mazik, because a shomer is working for the victim. And if you're working for the victim, you're not a mazik. And then we have to start thinking about things like, were you negligent, were you not negligent? In the case of the person who rents the car, for example, the idea would be, well, certainly you're not, you're not working for the, in a simple level at least, although... You know, you have to watch your object, but you're not working for the owner in a simple sense. But when you go off the road, that's negligence. At that point, that's not bereshus. At that point, it's shelo bereshus. That's the whole point of negligence. So would the Ramban, if you're asking would the Ramban see you as a mazik in that case, that's a very interesting question.
But I guess it's a very general question. So I think with any of these cases, you really have to apply both.
Yes. Agreed. You have to apply Shomer Sugyas and Adam Mazik Sugyas. In fact, we also learned this year, it's a good review for that reason, that Shomer only applies in certain circumstances. You might need to do a Kinyon on the object to be considered a Shomer. You have to wait until the actual owner removes their jurisdiction from it. They're no longer watching it. And the Rishonim talk about whether you can really apply Shomer to some of these cases. For instance, if the point is that a doctor is a Shomer, if that is the case, so then how could you be a Shomer on a person? Did you pick up the person? If, for instance, I decide to fix your tefillin for you, one case I saw, which we'll get to the practical cases in just a minute. If I fix your tefillin for you and I accidentally scratch out a letter and render the tefillin invalid, So, did I do... Can I be considered a Shomer on that tefillin? If I never picked up the tefillin with the intention of being a Shomer, or if you were present when I did that, there's all sorts of... but yes, I agree. You do have to think about both, and it gets complicated. I 100% agree with that. Okay, so the last thing we talked about, this is just more of a technical idea. So another question was our sugya itself, where you drop a barrel. There is another reason to defend the person and not hold them liable, which is because in order to apply Adam Olam, you need to be Adam Hamazik. Adam Hamazik means the person themselves caused the damage. Now, there are other types of mazikin. There's bor, where you create a ditch and someone falls in the ditch. There's esh, where you koachach or ma'urabo, where you send forth a force which damages. But we don't apply adam muad la'olam to those cases. So when you drop something, the question is, can we really call you adam hamazik? Is that considered your force? The gravity that applies to that object when it hits the ground, is that your force? So what the Ron says is that when you trip and fall, that's not your force. Again, if you simply go like this and accidentally drop something, but the reason you did that was because you collided with another object, halachically we don't attribute that koach to the koach of the person, and therefore you're not adam hamazik. Right, take a look at the bold there, Yishlomar, Dehani mili hecha shel hizik bo mikocho ki harei dehasam. That's when the damage comes from his force. Like those cases of on Nisper, Akado, but when your jug breaks, Eina hezek mikocho el machmas ha takala Nispera. That damage is not considered an expression of your force, but rather it came from the thing that you stumbled on. Nisper, Akado, Vizika, Mamona, Husha, Hezek, Vlogu, Atmo. That's your kad, that damage. That's your mamon, your money, that damage, and not Adam Mazik itself. So to give a brief review, essentially how the Ramban, if you look, I have the 1, 2, 3 over here. What we've seen, and then we'll go to the practical applications. What we see is that the Ramban also will have to sort of get out of all these cases. And we saw three basic ways for the Ramban to get out of them. One is Nizak Poshea Ba'atmo, where the damager, or rather the victim themselves, was negligent. That's the Yerushalmi, where you're in bed and someone gets into bed next to you and you damage them in the process. That also applies to the case where someone leaves their jug on the floor and you trip, they shouldn't have left it there. Or where someone stops suddenly in front of you and you break the barrel. The problem is not that it wasn't your fault, it's that it's also their fault. Category 2 we saw was misasek perishos, where you had permission. We saw that in the case of employees, that applies to the employees carrying the barrel in our mesechet and above mitzia. It also applies to the shochet in certain circumstances. Again, sometimes the shochet will be liable, as we'll see. And also, we said another version of this is the case in Bava Kama, where although the person who owns that cow didn't give the children to the permission to slaughter it, but the Torah gave the person permission to slaughter it. And finally, we had this idea of lav koach hamazik, where the force that damages the object isn't considered the force of the damager. And for that, you have the cases where you drop an object, like in Bava Kama, and the point there is that you're not the one damaging that jug. It's the it's not considered your koach. Okay, so to go back to our vignettes here, to sort of bring this to a close and make it more practical. The case of the... Yes. So I have a question?
Two. All right, I'm going to call him.
Oh, you lost me again? Fine.
Yeah, right after you said okay, back.
Okay, fine, so call me.
Okay. Calling you now.